world looking for something. Something that makes us fully alive and free.
Is it found in what we own? In the clothes that we wear, or the cars that we drive, or the house we live in?
Or is it found in what we experience? The entertainment we consume, the vacations we take, the places we visit, or the adventures we have? Is freedom found in having what we desire? The relationship we want, the platform we build, the respect we earn, the inner peace we seek?
Or is freedom found in what we accomplish? The awards we collect, the fame we enjoy, or the things we conquer? You would think after seeking all of this, we would finally feel fulfilled.
But at the end of all that searching, we're left just as empty as before. There has to be more than this.
All right, good morning, everybody. Oh man, this has been a great service already, and I'm just hoping I don't screw it up from here. How's that for nerves? Matt, welcome. My name is Mike. I'm one of the pastors around here, and just privileged to share with you God's word. And like I love to do every time before we read God's word, I'd like to just have you bow your heads, close your eyes, ask God for three things. Number one, ask God that he would speak to you. Number two, that he would speak to the others in this place. And number three, that he would speak through me. Would you do that? God, thank you for your presence with us today. Thank you for your power to change lives. And we ask that in this time, as we open up your word, you would help us to understand it and to apply it. And Lord, we are just grateful for what you're going to do. In Jesus' name. We all said, amen. All right, we're in Galatians chapter 6, wrapping up our series, and we are going to be reading verses 11 through 18. They're on the wall behind me. They're in your notes. If you have your copy of God's Word, you can open that up. We'll be in a few other places as well, and so hope you're ready to go. Here's what the Apostle Paul concludes as he writes to this church. See what large letters I use as I write to you with my own hand. Those who want to impress people by means of the flesh are trying to compel you to be circumcised. The only reason that they do this is to avoid being persecuted for the cross of Christ. Not even those who are circumcised keep the law, yet they want you to be circumcised so that they may boast about your circumcision in the flesh. May I never boast except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, through which the world has been crucified to me and I to the world. Neither circumcision nor uncircumcision means anything. What counts is the new creation. Peace and mercy to all who follow this rule, to the Israel of God. From now on, let no one cause me trouble, for I bear in my body the marks of Jesus. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit, brothers and sisters. Amen. We are meant to understand, as Paul begins this concluding paragraph, that he is taking the pen out of his assistant's hand. It was common in those days for a person like the Apostle Paul to have a scribe, someone he would dictate to, and they would, with excellent penmanship, write the letter for him. And he reaches in, he said, I want to write this myself. And he says, I want you to notice these large letters that I'm using. This is me, this is Paul. This is important. This is vital. So he's trying to just explain to them that this final concluding part of the letter is super important. And the reason why is it's an encapsulation of everything he's been teaching up to this point. And so the good news for those of you who are with us for the very first time in this series is you're gonna get the whole thing in one shot. You didn't have to come for 13 weeks. Sorry for the rest of you who've been here for 13 weeks. All you had to do is show up with today and you get the whole thing, right? Now, there's a lot of things that I'd love for you to encourage you to go back and look at, but this will be a good summary of all that we've been learning. Essentially, the book of Galatians is written to just describe the difference between fake Christianity and real Christianity. To kind of just show the contrast and show you this is what real Christianity is all about. And at the very core of it, Christianity is all about the cross. It's about the cross of Jesus Christ, okay? And so that may kind of sound like, well, yeah, duh, you know? I see crosses all the time, you know, at churches and stuff. But let me see if I can give you an illustration that will maybe help drive the importance of this home. It's a story of Pastor Kyle and I. A couple of years ago, we went up to Mount Whitney and climbed to the highest peak in the lower 48 states. It's right in our own backyard, just a few miles from here. You know, you can drive up there and hike and be higher on the planet than most everybody else. So it's kind of cool. 14,505 feet. At 10,000 feet, you start losing a lot of oxygen, it's probably the most challenging thing I've ever done physically, even mentally, because the oxygen deprivation to your brain kind of messes with you, and you know you're losing balance and all this kind of stuff. Probably the most humbling part of that experience. I mean, I felt really, really good about it. In fact, about a half mile before we were to the summit, I was feeling really, really good. I'd gone through a lot. I actually spent a couple of hours in the middle of the night because we started at 10 o'clock at night. This was at 9 o'clock in the morning. And man, in the middle of the night, I was not feeling good. I was thinking about turning around and going back down. But man, we got so close to the summit. I was excited. I was like, well, we're going to make it. I was feeling really good. And all of a sudden, I heard something behind me. And I turn around, and I kid you not, some 20-something-year-old girl in spandex is just... I'm like, you go, girl. I was just super humbled. I've been walking all night, and here you are, just fresh as a daisy, you know? And I'm all bundled, and she's, you know, whatever. Anyway, that's not the point. Imagine at the top of that peak, man, I look over Kyle. I'm like, man, we did it. This is amazing. Thanks for sharing this with me. I love you, man. He's like, I love you too, bro. And I'm like, here's the thing, man. I want to show you how much I love you. And I go running and I jump off the edge. It's a 2,000 foot drop at the peak of that thing. And there I go. As I'm going down, I love you, Kyle, right? And you would all say, oh, man, he must have really loved Kyle, right? That's what you'd say, right? No, you'd say, what an idiot. That's what you should say, right? I mean, it's kind of pointless for a person to just throw their life away for nothing. Jesus didn't throw his life away for nothing. Here's the point. If you and I could have gotten to God on our own, then Jesus died for nothing. It was stupid. It was foolish. The cross is foolishness if you and I could have made it on our own. And Paul is writing to these people because he wants them to understand the cross is everything. When it comes to our faith, that's it. That's the thing. And so somehow trying to add to it, and that's what people were trying to do. They were trying to say, Christ is good, but you need to get circumcised too. And you need to keep these laws. You need to do this stuff. And we do it in our own way today too, right? Christ is good, but you know, you got to do these things. And what Paul is trying to sort out in the minds of the people reading this letter is, no, Christ is enough. Christ died on a cross. His sacrifice is the only thing that can make you right with God. And if you'll trust that, he will save you. Not trust in Christ, do some stuff, and he'll save you. No, trust in Christ, and he will save you. Period. Does that make sense? Okay. So that's kind of the essence of the book. But as we kind of work our way through this, we're going to see a few more details about that. One more thing before we go there. I just want to say this. One of the things that Paul says about the cross in chapter 5 and verse 11 is that it's offensive. That the cross, the message of the cross is offensive. In fact, he even alludes to it here at the end. When he talks about these guys that were trying to compel them to be circumcised, he says they're doing it to avoid being persecuted. The cross of Christ is offensive. It's so offensive that some people would persecute other people for proclaiming it. Does that make sense? Paul, at the end, he says, I bear in my body the marks of Jesus. In other words, I suffered like Jesus suffered, not fully, but in a similar way. I was hated. I was persecuted for this message of the cross. This message is offensive. And again, just to help you understand, here's why it's offensive. For some people, it's offensive because the message of the cross means that even if you're a really bad dude, you're on death row in a prison, and you, in repentance and faith, trust in what Christ did at the cross and receive his free gift of salvation, you're off the hook. The cross means bad dudes get off the hook. And some of us are offended by that. Doesn't seem right. Others are offended because we've lived good lives. We've lived moral lives, religious lives. We've done all the things. And the cross, the message of the cross tells us it's not good enough. And that's offensive. And we have to get over our offense at what that means and humble ourselves to say, yeah, I deserve to be cut off from God. Christ was cut off from God so I wouldn't have to be. And I want to receive what he did for me as a gift so that I can know based on what he did, I'm right with God. That's the gospel. It's the gospel. There are three things that Paul is driving home at the end of this letter. First one is this, in your notes. We fake it when we rely on what we can do. We fake it when we rely on what we can do. Right after he says, you see what these large letters that I'm using to write you with my own hand? He says this, those who want to impress people by means of the flesh are trying to compel you to be circumcised. And the only reason they do this is to avoid being persecuted for the cross of Christ. Not even those who are circumcised keep the law, yet they want you to be circumcised. They boast about your circumcision in the flesh. There are a lot of words that should just jump out as you're reading that. Impress, compel, avoid, keep. Boast. If Christianity is all about how we can make an impression, how we can compel other people to join us, we can avoid, you know, persecution, we can keep the law, we can boast about what we've done. If that's what Christianity is about, then Christianity, like every other world religion, is about our resume, not about a relationship. And we are faking it when we make Christianity about what resume we can present to God. Look at what I did, God. Look at all the good things. Here it is. And Christianity, true Christianity, is about what God offers to us, not what we offer to him. We rely on his work, not ours. We fake it when we rely on what we can do. God did not make you junk. I hope you know that. When he made you in his image, after his likeness. You are very, very capable, and there are many capable people doing a lot of good things in this world, but they don't trust in Jesus alone for their salvation. And true Christianity says, chuck the resume, accept the relationship. Accept the relationship that God is offering you with him, to be right with him through the cross, through what Jesus has done. So even if so-called Christians tell you it's Christ and this, you got to do this and this and this, that's fake. Reject it. Don't fake it with them. Trust in Christ alone. Got it? That's the first part of the message. Second part of the message is this. We own it when we boast in what Christ has done. We own it when we boast in what Christ has done. Love verses 14 and 15, in my opinion, I think these really are the kind of the crux of the issue. Here's what he says: may I never boast. And that, the Greek here is kind of challenging to translate. The old King James Version says, God forbid that I should boast. That's how it translates it. But the idea here is, may I never, ever, 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 ever boast in anything, nothing else but Christ, the cross. That's what he's trying to get across. May I never, ever boast except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. Because through that the world is crucified to me and I to the world. Neither circumcision nor uncircumcision is anything. What counts is the new creation. I want you to think a minute about this word boast. It's the second time he used it. The first time he used it to talk about the people that were faking it. Right? They were boasting about what they could do, about what they could present to God. He was saying, no, I'm only going to boast about what Jesus has done for me, okay? But I want you to think about this boasting for a minute, because we always think of boasting like bragging. We think about it on the outside, like this is what we say. This is how we act. This is what we do. It's all mostly external is how we think about it. But Paul, I think, is thinking more about internally, because every single one of us always has in mind our resume about what makes us good, what makes us look good, what makes us feel good, what makes us feel like life is good. We have this kind of this list, and we may not ever say anything or be all braggadocious about it, but we feel confident and good based on what we've done. And that's what Paul's getting at when he uses this word boast. What is it that you're priding yourself in? I mean, we pride ourselves in our work ethic. We can pride ourselves in our moral track record or the obstacles we've overcome or the heights that we've achieved. We can pride ourselves in our marriage or our family or what we believe our marriage will be like and our family will be like. I'm going to be the best whatever ever, right? And those are all good things. I'm not trying to put those things down, but here's the thing. The cross of Christ makes those things look like nothing, if you understand. Am I making sense this morning, church? Is this connecting? So here's the thing. What Paul is saying is, don't make good things ultimate things. The cross is ultimate. Your good track record is not. It's good. It's fine. It's not that it's wrong. But when you are depending on that, and when you're making that an ultimate thing, it's an idol. It's a false god that you bow to and you revolve your life around, because you get your sense of significance and worth and accomplishment and approval and all this stuff from a horizontal level, right? I feel that way about this world that I'm living. So, man, you know, I feel that way about God too. It's like, no, no, no. The cross, the cross, the cross. It's the ultimate thing. True Christianity has only one thing to boast in. There's no close second, no matter how good it is. So if you would allow me to paraphrase these two verses, and maybe that'll just drive it home a little better. Paul is saying, only the cross will inform my view of what's truly valuable and important in life. What I can accomplish or what others can do for me is nothing compared to what Christ accomplished at the cross. He gave me life. He made me new. His home is my home. His people are my people. His treasure is my treasure. His mission is my mission. So nothing in this life will control me, and I won't live for anything in this world. The only thing that matters, the only thing that counts, is that I've been made new through Jesus. That is Paul's boast. Is it yours? Is that the thing you pride yourself in above all things? You may remember how the Apostle Paul boasted in chapter 2, verse 20. I love it. He says, I have been crucified with Christ. I no longer live. Christ lives in me. And this life that I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. What's your boast? What do you tell yourself is the most ultimate thing in life? The thing that gives you value and significance and purpose, that sets the direction of your life, if it's anything other than cross, it's fake. It's an idol. It's false. So may I never boast except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, through which the world has been crucified to me and I to the world. Neither circumcision nor uncircumcision means anything. What counts is a new creation. Chuck the resume. Boast in the relationship. You got it? It's Paul's second point. Third point. We get it when we walk out of a gospel mindset. We get it when we walk out a gospel mindset. In verse 16, there's a little phrase that I just want to zero in on. The phrase is, follow this rule. Follow this rule. And the reason why I want to focus in on this is it can seem like, wait a second, you just said chuck the resume. You said it's not about what you do. This phrase, follow this rule, can make it feel like, wow, what is it? Am I trusting Jesus or am I following the rules? Let me explain a little bit more about this. The word rule here is the word canon. I don't know if you're familiar with the doctrine of canonicity, but everything that we have in this book met a standard to be included as God's word. There was a standard that every single writing that's included in our copies of God's word that says, these are God's word. They meet these qualities, okay? It's called canonicity. The word canon means a standard. We think about rules like the Ten Commandments, you know, the thou shalt and the thou shalt nots. And the rule he's talking about here is a standard. It's a bar. Okay? And so he's saying you need to follow this standard. Okay? Maybe that's a little more helpful for you to have that word instead of rule. But the other word, follow, is interesting because in the previous chapter, chapter 5, Paul talked about keeping in step with the Spirit, if you were here during that message, keeping in step with. It's the same Greek word. Follow and keep in step with are the same idea. So it's this idea that in my life, I want to keep in step with this standard. What's the standard? He just told us what the standard was. It's a new creation. When you trust in the message of the cross, what Christ did for you, dying for you, that you are now made a new creation in him, that means that you ought to live, that you will live as a new creation, as a new person. The old you is dead. There's a new you. Now let's walk that out. Let's walk that out, okay? That's essentially what he's getting at here. Paul is saying that the cross changes everything. It becomes our only boast. And so because of that, because I know I am new in Christ, I want my life to follow that path. Think of it this way. Think of it like a highway. Think of it like a highway. And the highway is this new creation. I am moving toward this new creation reality that I will fully enter into when I see Jesus face to face at the end of this life, and I'm completely transformed. That's where I'm headed, okay? And I'm on this highway, and on the left is a guardrail, and on the right is a guardrail. On the left guardrail is this: you're dead to the world. And on the right, the world is dead to you. And here's the thing. When you first become a new creation, you're figuring out how to drive the highway. And sometimes you're gonna get over on this side, you might rub up against the guardrail of, I am dead to the world. Oh yeah, dummy, you're dead to the world. Get back on the path. Keep in step with the standard. Oh man, I love the world. No. The world is dead to me. But I really like, no. That has nothing. That has no life for you. Christ is your life. Boom, course correct. Get back in step. This is not talking about our perfection. In the same way that I can't be made perfect and get to God through doing all the things, right? That I am receiving this new life, and I have to remind myself, I need to receive it when I get over here on this side, or when I get over here on this side, I need to remember, no, I wasn't created for that. I wasn't created for that. I died to the world, and the world died to me, and I have this new creation reality that I have the privilege and the power by the gifting of the Holy Spirit. I can walk in this. Is that making sense to me? Or to you, sorry, am I making sense to you? Here's the thing, if I'm making sense to you, allow it to reflect in your life. Church, live this. Live this. This week, you bump up against a guardrail that says, man, my flesh is really wanting something that I'm supposed to be dead to. Would you remind yourself this week when that happens to get back on the path, to keep in step? I mean, it won't do you any good to sit here on Sunday and nod your head and on Monday. And it has nothing to do with your standing before God. It just has everything to do with how you're going to live this life. Did you notice how he began this verse before he says, follow this rule? Peace and mercy to those who follow this world. Peace and mercy aren't something God's going to zap you with. As you follow the rule of the new creation and keep in step down the highway that God has got you going toward Jesus, there's peace and mercy in that. But man, you start bumping up against the guardrails of not dying to the world and not allowing the world to be dead to you. Man, the peace and mercy, huh? Follow this rule. Keep in step with this standard. That because of what Christ has done for you, he's given you a right relationship with God simply by trusting it, not based on anything you do. And so you believe, you're saved. Now keep in step. Does that make sense? False Christianity is keep in step. And you'll get there. There's this crazy viewpoint I hear it all the time. It basically says, God's at the top of a mountain, and we all are climbing up the mountain to get to God, and we all have our own path. It's the same God, it's the same mountain, but different paths. And it doesn't matter which path you choose, it's all going the same place. Baloney. That is not the gospel of Jesus Christ, that's false. And if that offends you, then I preach the right message today. Because it's offended people for thousands of years. And if you want to experience God's salvation, you're going to have to get over your offense at the gospel, at the cross. You have to admit that you're a sinner. You have to admit that your good stuff isn't good enough. You gotta have the humility to admit that. The gospel, the message of the cross requires it. It's where it all starts. Humbly admitting, I need a savior. I can't save myself. B, you gotta believe that the cross Jesus dying for you is the only hope that you have for salvation. Jesus lived a perfect life. He's the only one who ever did. And yet he received in his body the condemnation that we all deserve. He was on the cross, cut off from God, like you and I deserve for being the sinners that we are. He was cut off so we wouldn't have to be. And if you can believe that, that's the way you can be made right with God, then see, you just gotta choose to put your complete trust in him. And he will make you new. Not perfect, not now, but he'll make you new. And he'll begin taking you down the highway that'll one day lead you to that perfection in Jesus. Okay? Is that making sense? That's the gospel message. Now, church, it's Holy Week. And I would exhort you, would you invite someone to come to hear this good news? We're gonna be proclaiming it all weekend long. And please, if you can come to another service than this one, because last year we had so many people, it was nuts around here. So give up your seat and get a cinnamon roll, all right? We want people to hear this good news. Amen? And would you just do me a favor? Just stay on the highway this week. Keep in step. Amen? Amen. Let me pray for you. Father, thank you so much for the opportunity to just be reminded again. And Lord, how we need to be reminded again and again of all that you've done for us. Thank you, Lord, for taking sinners off the hook, for allowing people that try to be good to just get off that treadmill and just trust you, to take the yoke of Jesus on them that is easy and light. Thank you for saving us by your grace through faith. And Lord, for anyone that's here that just has yet to get to that place where they've understood and believed, I pray by your Spirit you would make that a reality for them today, that they could just admit, I need a Savior. I believe that Jesus is the only one that's available, and I choose to put my faith in him. I hope you'll do that today. Lord, help the rest of us follow this rule, to keep in step with that standard, that we are new creations, not because of what we've done, but because of what you've done for us. And Lord, may you be glorified in your people. We ask in Jesus' name, amen.